Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, the green card, the tailored suits, the $200 self-heating coffee cup. Who is Britain's new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak? Allegations that immigrant workers in Qatar are paid little or nothing to build stadiums in part two of our series on the World Cup. We'll focus on controversies around human rights abuses, destigmatising the disease of obesity, new guidelines on treatment and diagnosis, Professor Donal O'Shea explains. If you're not a fan of horror movies, maybe a scary book might be more up your street. We have spooky stories for children and chilling novels for adults, and advice on personal finance too from Owen McGee. That's coming up later on. If you have any questions for Owen, get them in now. You can text them 51551 or email todaycb@rte.com. On Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Now, at Cabinet this morning, the Minister for Justice is seeking government approval to reform the country's 200-year-old licensing system. If enacted, it could see nightclubs opening until 6 o'clock in the morning and pubs extending their opening hours 7 nights a week. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Sunil Sharp, DJ and spokesperson of the Give Us the Night campaign, who has been campaigning for changes for nearly two decades. I'll also be joined by Michael O'Donovan, chairperson of the Cork Vintners Federation of Ireland and owner of the Castle Inn in Cork City, and also Sheila Gilheeney, chief executive of Alcohol Action Ireland. But I'm joined on the line first by Philip Ryan, political editor with the Irish Independent. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Claire.
Just before we get to this story about the change expected in licensing laws, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, as we're hearing there in the news bulletin, has just spoken about the refugee accommodation issue on his way into Cabinet this morning. Tell us firstly what he has said about this.
Yeah, essentially the Taoiseach has said, look, the government is doing everything it can to get this problem resolved, to get accommodation in place for people coming here. But for the time being, they can't promise that. For the next couple of weeks, is the way he put it, that there is no guarantee if you arrive here from Ukraine or anywhere else that the government will be able to house you or find some form of accommodation. There was a big meeting last night of the senior ministers involved in this, the Taoiseach himself, the Taoiseach, Green Party leader and Children's Minister. Roderick O'Gorman, who's leading the charge on this one, to discuss what new measures can be put in place to try address this. In the press release that came out afterwards, there was one kind of striking figure that I thought was that the state is currently accommodating more than 58,000 people, that being 42,000 from Ukraine and 16,000 additional people seeking accommodation under international protection orders. And that figure compares with just 7,250 this time last year. So that just shows the size of a task that they have in accommodating these people in a situation where we've been in a housing crisis for the best part of a decade.
Well, clearly the Taoiseach is sending out the message today that there is going to be a problem at least for a couple of weeks until some solution is found.
Certainly, yeah. It's as if he's saying, come here at your own peril. We'll try to do our best, but there's no guarantees. And that's not what they've been saying. That's all along. There's a big change in messaging there. It's accepted. I think over the weekend, it was officially they ran out of housing. There was people who were forced to stay in Dublin Airport because there was nowhere else to put them. And the various measures that they're looking at taking, nothing is going to happen overnight. They're looking at things, as they've said before, about modular housing and then talking about putting people up in prefabs attached to army barracks. They're also looking for more people to hand over their own homes, whether they be holiday homes or maybe unused homes that they have, and also offer rooms in their house. And they're talking about increasing the payment from that from 400 a month to 800 a month to encourage more people to do it. So okay, it's all hands on decks as far as the refugee crisis goes at the moment.
Let's go back now to the new licensing laws. So what's expected to change, Philip?
Yeah, these are pretty big changes in many ways. One of the ones that is going to change and kind of standardise things across the week is the opening hours for pubs, just regular pubs. So this is from Monday to Thursday, you're allowed to open from 10:30 to 11:30. From Friday and Saturday, you can go from 10:30 to 12:30. And Sunday, it's 12:30 to 11. So that's all going to go to 10:30 to 12:30, 7 days a week that bars will be able to open and serve customers. And then moving on to nightclubs. So nightclubs are going to be able to open at present. It's mixed match. There's no precise law governing this. So they generally open to like 2-3 or around that period. And from now on, well, once these laws are enacted next year, they'll be able to open till 6 a.m. in the morning, but will only able to serve until 5 a.m. So last orders will be 5 a.m., but you can continue listening to music or dancing until 6 a.m.
We've often heard on this programme that the system is unwieldy, that, you know, the system for applying for permits and for the licence to remain open late is a difficult one. But it is still going to be, to a certain extent, unwieldy, is it not?
Yeah, it's going to continue to be quite restrictive in how you can get one of these permits. What's been looked at, or what this legislation is proposing, is that if you have a bar license, you'll continue operating under that license. But if you're hoping to operate a late bar, or if you have an existing late bar or an existing nightclub, you'll have to reapply for a permit to operate under these new laws. So you'll have to, it's the same process. You're going to the courts. You're going to have to seek correspondence from the HSE, from Gardaí, all those things to get your license. But what they're saying is, and what the minister will probably say later, is that they're trying to do this in a transitional period. So you won't, it won't be overnight. You'll be told, right, you have to reapply for your license. There'll be a period, a step down period, as they move into these new laws.
At the moment, there's a patchwork of about 100 laws governing the sale of alcohol, and this new bill will replace at least some of those. What about off license and supermarkets, Philip?
Yeah, change there too. So under the current existing laws, it's 10:30 to 10 p.m. that you're allowed to serve alcohol in a shop, in an off-license, in a supermarket, or wherever you get your drink. But on Sundays, it's from 12:30 to 10. So that's going to change, and they're going to have, again, standardised throughout the week. So you'll be able to pick up a bottle of wine at 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday.
Okay, Philip, thank you very much for bringing us the detail on that. Michael O'Donovan, chairperson of the Cork Vintners Federation of Ireland and owner of the Castle Inn in Cork City, listening to all of that. From a publican's point of view, Michael, do you welcome the fact that pubs will be allowed to open late 7 nights a week till 12:30?
Look, there's aspects of it, Claire, that we welcome. I think talking to colleagues this morning, you know, I suppose where we are right now, there isn't business to do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and potentially Thursday. Where on the big win, I suppose, is on the Sunday morning going to 10:30. You know, we've seen over the last number of years, big matches, especially Munster Championship games here in Cork and throughout the province at 2 o'clock throw-in. When people come to the venue, there's nothing open because we weren't allowed open before until 12:30. So at that stage, they'd be heading to the venue. So now at least they'll be able to get a drink, get some food. You know, premises will be allowed open at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. So that's something that we really championed for, and thankfully it's come true. And like as Philip was saying there, currently the law of the land for the special exemption orders for those that open late into the night is 2:30. So there's no real change in that. What we were hoping for is that the applications for that would be more streamlined, that it could be done online in this day and age, and that it would free up the courts, because the amount of time taken up going through the process in the courts, it's an incredible amount of time. So we would hope that today the Minister might have some proposals on that to streamline it, to take it online, because in 2022 the facilities are there to do that.
Mm-hmm. But the Minister, a government source has said in the reports today that the new legislation will emphasise that the sale of alcohol cannot be treated like the sale of any other good. So clearly the government and the Minister is of the belief that these sort of restrictions are needed.
Yeah, look, where we would hope that the restrictions would be kept is if there was an objection to it, that then there would be a, you know, if a premises was applying for it online, say to the court service, and if the Gardaí or the fire officer or the HSE or somebody had an objection, then it could go to court. But if there was no objection, that it could be done in a far more streamlined fashion, and that it would be much easier to do it, because that is one of the big problems that premises have in doing it, the costs and the time it takes to go to court and apply for that system. So we would hope that that becomes more streamlined going forward.
And tell me, Michael, is there a market there to open late seven nights a week?
Look, we're here in Cork City, the second city of the country. You know, we're seeing most places are closed some form of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as it is now. There is no market for that on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And look, going forward, pubs will probably tailor their opening hours to what will suit their business. So I think on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it probably won't happen. Thursday, look, we've tried it before, opening till 12:30 on a Thursday night. If you remember when the laws came in to open Friday and Saturday night later, Thursday night, it didn't really work, you know. So we'll have to see on Thursday night. But Sunday night, we absolutely welcome the extension on a Sunday night. And look, maybe, you know, it was closing at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. It was too early on a Sunday night. So, look, maybe extending it for, you know, bringing it in line with the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but they've taken it a step further to take it in line with the Friday and Saturday night, say, as it is at the moment. But look, I suppose we'll see it as it goes forward is the honest answer, Claire, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're not seeing the business on the ground at the moment to drive that demand for it. And well, one of the other things that we would have liked to have seen, and we hope today it might be included, is area exemptions, because festivals up and down the country, you know, they can avail of that, and we hope the Minister will have some proposals on that today as well.
Okay, explain that to me a bit more.
You know, if there's a festival, like this weekend, we have the Jazz Festival here now in Cork, and the application forms for that as well are so cumbersome, and I suppose the costs associated with it, we would hope that the Minister would address that as well today in the reform of the alcohol bill.
So the whole of Cork City, you're saying, should be exempt from applying for extended opening during a festival period?
Yeah, well, look, we have it this weekend, but it's just the process that we've to go through to do it. I suppose we're lucky we've a vast array of pubs in Cork City that we can club together and do it, but for lots of festivals up and down the country, it's just not practical to do it. So we would hope that she reforms that as well, because that would be a huge benefactor to premises to be able to open a bit later if there was a festival on a weekend in any town or village around the country that they could open later and, you know, give more time for performers to play music and entertain people. But it's just so difficult at the moment to do it. We would hope that that's reformed as well.
Michael, thanks very much. I want to come to Sunil Sharp, DJ and spokesperson of Give Us the Night. Michael just mentioned the performers and the artists there, and I know that was your greatest concern, that there was a narrowing of the places where they could play given what was happening to nightlife in Ireland. Sunil, do you welcome these proposed changes today?
Yeah, I do. I mean, at the moment, we're just working off media reports. There's still a lot of detail to be filled in. We're going to be at a briefing at the Justice Department today, and hopefully, you know, all of us, including Michael and all the interest groups here, will become a little bit more aware of what's actually going to be enacted into law and what's in this bill, because there's just a lot of detail that has to be filled in. There's a lot of talk around closing times now, but for us, and I mentioned this on the last time I was on with you as well, the costs are key now. But, you know, the changes that are being reported overall are perhaps moderate versus what they could be if it was another country approaching this same situation. But it's definitely a step in the right direction. So we do welcome what we've heard so far.
Yeah, just on these comments we're hearing from government sources, that Ireland will maintain a restrictive licensing system. They'll only be granted by the courts. Objections will be allowed. And Michael referred to this, from fire authorities, local authorities, the HSE, An Garda Síochána, local communities. Does the overhaul go far enough for you, Sunil?
I mean, we've no problem with any of that. I think flexibility in terms of opening hours after the time that alcohol is served. You know, personally, and us as a campaign, we wouldn't have had any issue with the bar opening beyond 5 a.m. But we understand the country this is, the historic impact of alcohol on society, and the fact that we're just moving into a new direction. This is a big cultural shift for the country. So we're happy that the provision of dancing and entertainment can carry on till 6 a.m. But there's definitely other details that need to be filled in as well. And we're also still tied into the pub licensing system, which we don't actually have a general issue with, only for the fact that welcoming new operators into the industry will be a challenge in the future unless the cost of these licenses of actually obtaining, extinguishing a license and actually obtaining a new license, you know, that costs a lot of money, you know, and those, after this reform goes through, you know, I believe that those, the cost of those licenses, which are only available in the open markets, will continue to spiral and go upwards, you know, and that's something that we want to see addressed here, is that the entry, the financial entry into the market isn't prohibitive for new operators and new blood coming into the industry too.
Michael O'Donovan is still on the line, and Michael, I just want to put that point to you, and it's coming through from some of our listeners who are concerned, and we'll hear more about this in a moment from Sheila Gilheeny, that this move could lead to more problems with alcohol addiction and binge drinking. What do you say to people who are concerned about that today?
Look, I suppose when times are extended, it may, but look, people at the moment, Claire, have only a certain amount of money to spend. So, like, if they come out with €50, it doesn't matter if they go out at 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock, they still have only a certain amount of money to spend. So it's really prohibited by their budget of what they can spend and consume in their premises. And I suppose the one thing is, with the laws being extended, I suppose it will disperse the crowds afterwards, you know, so antisocial behaviour hopefully might take a, you know, it could address that as well, with pubs closing at, say, the 12:30, the late night bars at 2:30, and if some then go on later, it'll disperse the crowds at different points during the night.
Mm-hmm. And there are concerns around transport being expressed this morning as well. Sheila Gilheeny, as I said, Chief Executive of Alcohol Action Ireland, is on the line. Sheila, you have serious concerns, do you, about this overhaul?
Yes, we have. I mean, certainly we would say we don't have a problem with the modernisation and streamlining of the licensing process. But really what has to be at the heart of any licensing thing is to put public health. And it needs to be a stated objective of the licensing reform that's been proposed. We certainly know from looking at the research from many different jurisdictions that when you increase the licensing hours, you see an increase in the harms from alcohol. And that's whether you're talking about public disorder, violence, increased hospital admissions, additional pressures on public services, and violence in all sorts of different forms. That's there.
So you're saying that will happen? That is not in doubt as far as you're concerned?
Well, all we have to do is just look at the evidence from other countries. And I'll just give you one example here. In Norway, they found that a one-hour extension to the opening hours was associated with a 16% increase in violent crime. Mm-hmm. That's just one example with many that we could give. So what we would be saying here is that this legislation needs detailed scrutiny, and we would be calling for the Oireachtas Justice Committee to have pre-legislative scrutiny of the bill, and really to hear evidence from experts on the impact on public health that any proposed increase in licensing hours could lead to.
So you don't take comfort from this statement from the government source that the new legislation will emphasise that the sale of alcohol cannot be treated like the sale of any other good. I mean, that shows an awareness that it must be treated differently. But for you, the problem is staying open until 2:30 and then 5 a.m. serving alcohol in nightclubs.
Yes, to us there is a complete mismatch between one wing of the government, where we have the Public Health Alcohol Act, which is, you know, sponsored through the Department of Health, which actually seeks to reduce the level of alcohol use in the country by 20%. And many of the provisions within that act haven't actually been implemented. And yet we have another arm of the government through the Department of Justice pushing strongly now for an increase in licensing hours and the availability of alcohol, which goes directly against the intent of the Public Health Alcohol Act.
Okay. Sunil, do you want to respond to that briefly?
I mean, I think sometimes, Sheila, and perhaps, you know, some of the pro-health lobbyists need to distinguish between a performance-based venue and the normal public house. And I think, like I said earlier, I think the proposals here are moderate. I mean, you're going to have some venues, and it's only going to be a small proportion of these venues that are going to elect to open late, I mean late, and go till 5 a.m. From my experience abroad, and you know, I play abroad quite regularly, generally the people that drink late are the people that go out late. And generally the people who go out early are those that aren't ordering drinks beyond 2 or 2:30. So I think we need to look on the overall picture of nightlife and accept that there may be two different crowds going out over the course of the night. Some that go in and continue to do what they do now, which is leave at 2 or 3 o'clock. And then there'll be another crowd that will come in post midnight and will stay till 4 or 5 o'clock, or in some cases, maybe a little bit later. I think I'd like Sheila to maybe acknowledge the changes that have happened here across the country, and to maybe pay tribute to younger communities and younger people in terms of how they've improved their relationship with alcohol in recent years. Because certainly, you know, younger people don't relate to alcohol or abuse alcohol at the same level that they used to. And I'd love to know what Sheila's feedback is on this, because it seems like, you know, some campaigners or lobbyists such as her have not really change the position on this in
Let's find out. Sheila, what do you say to that, that the relationship that young people have towards alcohol has changed from previous generations?
Well, very sadly, if you look at the age group 15 to 24-year-olds, 38% of that cohort have an alcohol use disorder.
Okay, but are you saying that alcohol consumption hasn't dropped in recent years, no?
There has been some reduction, but I will say that we are still drinking about 38% above the low-risk drinking guidelines.
And where is it peaking, Sheila? Is it peaking in the off-trade or in the on-trade?
There has been a big increase, obviously, in the off-trade, particularly through the pandemic times. But what we have found, even in this year alone, with the restrictions being lifted around the pandemic, that we've already seen an increase in the level of alcohol use this year alone. So we're now back to pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we always have to be vigilant and mindful of the fact that people will abuse alcohol. But I think generally, and in my experience of socialising and going out in, and I mean, you only have to speak to operators as well, many of whom can only profit from nightlife through the sale of alcohol. Many of them have left the market. I mean, there's not the same spending power in late night venues. And what we're seeing more and more are people, you know, drinking at home where there's 24-hour access to alcohol. This is still a regulated environment, and certainly, like I've said earlier, there'll only be a small amount amount of venues that will be availing of this. I think one more point as well. I mean, we approximate that the consumption of alcohol in late night venues, specifically nightclubs, is in and around 1% in Ireland of our total consumption.
Okay,
was at about 5%. It's right. Closer to 1%.
Sunil, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, Sunil Sharp and Sheila Galhini, Michael O'Donovan, and earlier Philip Ryan. We'll be finding out what's happening on Downing Street in the last few minutes in a moment.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.